Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
What's better than an everyone wins football weekend? And can anybody remember the last time this happened? That the Chiefs, KU, K-State, and Missouri all won on the same weekend during conference play, not non-cons. It's hard to rank them, but we're going to try it, KKHI. The Kansas Jayhawks with a stunning 57-56 win over the Texas Longhorns. Lance Leipold with a gutty two-point conversion call, but you knew he had to go for it. And the Jayhawks get the win. It's been so long and so difficult for Kansas, and the Texas Longhorns hit rock bottom. Great win for Leipold in his first year at KU. Chris Klieman up 7 late in the game, momentum changing as West Virginia's coming back and putting pressure on Kansas State, calls a gutty 4th-and-8 pass down the seam, and Skylar Thompson completes it. The Wildcats go on to win 34-17. Tyler Beatty in Columbia, 34 carries, 209 yards, 63 on the final drive to ice this as the Gamecocks were coming from behind against Ole Mizzou. Missouri gets a much-needed win. And, of course, the Chiefs looked like the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns, 41-14. The Raiders did a whole bunch of Raiders-like things, and everything's good in the world again as the Chiefs are on top of the AFC West. Stan Weber's here to talk about all of it. Brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. Online at robertsrobinson.com, where you can shop, click, and drive with Buick. Experience the new Buick. 360 Document Solutions. Find all the information you need to know about this great company that can help you at 360documentsolutions.com. Or call Mark Lindquist at 913-745-5344 for a complimentary analysis of everything you do with document technology at your office. They'll save you money and make you more productive at 360 Document Solutions. And my friends Justin and Brad over at Marion Body Shop and the new car image. Yeah, I got the full tour on Friday. This is the body shop you want to go to. No big-time corporate feel. It's the kind of place where they bring their dogs to work, and you know everybody that works there. These are good people that do great work on your car. Marion Body Shop, 913-362-1198, or call that number for a complete detail of your ride from the new car image in Kansas City or Lawrence, 362-1198. Everybody wins. How great was this weekend of football? On KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. B-Stock Electronics Outlet Store presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at bstock.net.
Everybody wins, and nobody likes winning more than Stan Weber. Let's not waste any time and jump right into what was maybe the most memorable weekend of local football in the Kansas City area that anybody can remember. I mean, it was just spectacular. Culminated with the Chiefs' big win on Sunday night over the Raiders, and that's where we begin with Stan Weber. Hi, Stan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, Kevin. I don't know if you have any interest in football and you live anywhere nearby here that you couldn't be happy. And I know you have podcast listeners who aren't all right here. And so a number of them might be Dallas Cowboy fans, so you can jump aboard as well, okay? Because they made people like me happy. So you just add on and look at all of them. Unless your high school team lost, looks like it was a big winning weekend for everybody.
Yeah, and I know you love the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm a fan too. I'm not a hater. I just like them because they always entertain me. And wow, their best game is really, really good. I know that. They're really good. Let's lock in on the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, 5 touchdowns in this game. It was a pretty nice balance of control, not turning it over, taking what they give you, and then he took some chances downfield that worked out. The one I didn't like was the one that put him up 35-14. That was the pass to Darrell Williams on the wheel route in the end zone. He just chucks it 50 yards to a running back, but it worked out as Williams caught the ball. I don't want to get a false sense of security. Just analyze the offense for me on the growth or what you saw in them on Sunday night.
Well, let's start backwards because you talked about the one play, and when it occurred, I immediately said, oh, we're back to the last 3 years. That should have been an easy interception, and it turned into a Chiefs touchdown. That's Mahomes' magic right there. So I agree with you. Maybe that was a turning point. Like, everything's going to go right again. But that's the kind of play that this year had gotten intercepted. Now, it didn't matter in a game situation, so I didn't mind it so much. But he did play very soundly. I still think, if you want to really evaluate it, Kevin, I think he still missed some opportunities that he normally does not miss. Think about the scramble in the red zone to the left, and then the receiver broke away and ran into the end zone, and he airmailed it out of the end zone with the receiver by a couple yards. He had to settle for a field goal early in the game. you know, that usually would have just dropped right in the receiver's hands and been an easy touchdown. So he's still not on the magical level of accuracy, but he did a fine job of playing a style that I believe is there, that I believe will be Chiefs football. Now, they went, what, for over 500 yards, which doesn't happen very much in the NFL at all, Kevin. He throws for five-plus interception, a touchdown, and he has over 400 yards passing. All those things in a day where it seemed like, if you're just watching on TV and not tracking it in your mind, like there's a lot of just controlled passes, take what you're given, throw the ball underneath, allow guys to run with the football after they catch it, getting the ball to the stars. You know, I'm a big believer you still get the ball to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. This defense of two safeties does not keep you from throwing the ball to those guys. But something that I've been standing on the soapbox about, Kevin, and talking to you about is I don't think that this cover two, umbrella coverage, two deep safeties, whatever you want to talk about, is the end of football. Like the Chiefs will never play great offense again because they got this philosophy used against them. No, Kevin, there are plenty of gaps in that defense. And what I want to see is the Chiefs take what's underneath, play disciplined football, run the ball, and have some balance in the game. But don't buy in that just turn around and run the football, which some people were talking about. No, you're most lethal when you're throwing the football with Patrick Mahomes. And guess what? There are still opportunities out there where you can get the ball downfield. That's what I liked in this game, Kevin, the balance of throwing the ball downfield and playing controlled football. Most people are just going to focus in on look at the runs, look at the focused underneath throws and taking what you can get and those kind of things. That's all fine, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the deep throws as well. The corner route to Tyreek Hill, drop in. That could be against cover two as well as the man-to-man that it was thrown into. So I really liked a lot of things about what the Chiefs did. The defense is picking it up, playing a little bit better. Just an all-around good game. But if it changed the meter in my mind very much, Kevin, do I have a different outlook this Monday morning, very much different than I had last week or 3 or 4 weeks ago? No. No, I don't. I mean, I've been on the Chiefs and saying they're fine. They're going to go to the playoffs. I didn't jump and say they're going to win the division, but I said they could. So this did not change for me at all. I didn't think that they were going to continue to turn over the football game after game. I thought the defense would start playing better, couldn't play 32nd or near that in the season, and that their division foes don't know how to run with a leadership mentality. Kevin, it is hard when you're taught to be a player to suddenly say, no, you're great, you're good, you're the one they're hunting. These teams are not championship mentality ready. Not the Chargers, even though they're a very good football team. Not the Broncos, even though they're better than we thought they were going to be. And definitely not the Raiders. They have all kinds of issues. Guess what? The Raiders always have all kinds of issues. They haven't won anything in a long time. So I always thought the Chiefs are going to dominate their division. They're going to go 6-2, 5-3 at the worst. Like if they play six games against those guys, they're going to go 5-1, 4-2 at the worst against their division foes. And then this big stretch of games where they're going to go, oh boy, they got to play Green Bay Raiders and the Cowboys. I never wavered in saying they're going to be fine. They're going to win two of those three. They're going to beat the Raiders more than likely on the road. And I didn't think that they would lose to the Packers or the Cowboys most likely. And so I sit here today, not much different than I did a couple weeks ago, but man, confidence matters. And the football team's going to have everybody off their back. They're going to be able to go out to dinner if they want to this week with all the Chiefs fans looking at them funny. It makes a difference. The belief system for the Chiefs has got to be a lot higher after putting that game together against a division foe.
All right, you're a steadier hand than I am. You're much calmer about these things than I am. I'm more of an emotional roller coaster with teams, and I'll plead guilty on this point with the Chiefs. I am much more excited. And it has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes getting the headlines and 400 yards passing and five touchdowns. It has to do with the defense three games in a row and what I'm watching them do defensively that they did against the Giants, the Packers, and now the Raiders. And I tweeted out last night, I said, listen, if that's what this Chiefs defense is going to be, they're the odds-on favorite to go to the Super Bowl from the AFC. This is a completely different look than what we saw a month ago in Tennessee. Completely different look. The defense looks legit, and I didn't think they had the talent to be a legitimate defense. But if they're just a little bit better than average, I'm looking at the AFC right now, Stan. This is true, but it's misleading. This is true. This is a fact. Only in the AFC, only the Tennessee Titans have more wins than the Chiefs. So it's misleading because a couple of teams have byes, and they're 6-3, not 6-4. But it's still, you know, goes to the point of there's so much football left. If this defense is going to play this well, Stan, I'm really excited.
Yeah, Kevin, it's okay to ramp your confidence level up and be excited. I'm not trying to bash anybody who's doing that at all. And you're right. You should feel a lot better about the defense. Now, why do we feel better? Well, Frank Clark, who I don't believe in much at all, is a completely different player when he's playing on his toes and firing off the ball and trying to play fast. He doesn't do it for long stretches of time. He's not reliable in that way, but he's doing that in his last few games. Okay? So let's give them that. Chris Jones, where should he be? At the defensive tackle position. What I worried about is that when Chris Jones smelled the outside, did you hear the announcers last night talking that when they had a conversation with Chris Jones, he said, you sure don't get beat up as much when you're out on the outside. Okay? You also get paid a lot more money and you get sacks and it's a lot more fun. I was worried that they tempted him into thinking about all of that, and it worried me just a little last night when Chris Collinsworth was talking about that. But I'll hand it to Chris Jones. When he moved back to defensive tackle, I thought he might not play with the fear he has. And, man, the Chiefs are a completely different defense when he's there. Now, what came back last game, last night, much more than the other games this year, Tyrann Mathieu's making plays again. He was the difference maker that made the Chiefs a Super Bowl-level football team. Patrick Mahomes in the offense and Andy Reid, they were prime time ready to roll. But the defense wasn't until Tyrann Mathieu got here and started making magical plays. He's starting to do that as well. Melvin Ingram is an athletic guy who knows how to win from the Steelers, causes a little bit of havoc on the outside. Anthony Hitchens is doing his role. I was on your show, Kevin, between the lines when Anthony Hitchens signed with the Chiefs, and we talked about him. I said, well, he's not going to beat anybody up at the line of scrimmage. He's not going to blow anybody up on a running play. He's going to run and hustle and not miss tackles. They may be 7 yards downfield, but the guy won't give up. He's smart. He's a team player. He knows what's going on. And guess what? He helps them audibleize right now when he's out there on defense. They got those two young guys who are, you know, Bolden and Gay are doing a nice job showing athleticism, growing up, and playing pretty well. But they are not at all in position to know audibleizing, understanding tendencies, and yelling things out right at the last second. Anthony Hitchens is able to do that. So we can start piling on a little bit and acting a little more positively. And I'll add this last fact, Kevin, because not many people want to hear this one. But I please just say, take a deep breath, play along with me, shake your head if you don't like it, but, you know, don't criticize me too much. I'm going to say this again. These are real NFL teams. The Giants are very well coached. Don't tell me about how awful it is just to beat the Giants, okay? And they had an offensive game plan that was there to try to beat the Chiefs. It's Monday Night Football. They took a lot of pride. I count that defensive performance. Oh, the next one? Here's the real controversial one, Kevin. Jordan Love was the quarterback. Therefore, we do not give any credit to the Chiefs defense in the Green Bay game. I propose if you have an extra bit of time this week, go turn on the tape of Aaron Rodgers at home against Seattle and let me look at that Green Bay offense, okay? Even with Aaron Rodgers, and he might be rusty, and give me 17 excuses, Kevin, I said, and I know no one agrees with me, they would have beat the Packers if Aaron Rodgers would have been there. Because the Packers are not consistently great. They've got a great receiver, a decent running back, but Aaron Rodgers didn't play great and light Seattle up, so give the Chiefs some credit, man. Give them credit for the Giants game, the Packers game, and the Raiders game, and suddenly, you said it, Kevin, you're seeing a trend line here. This defense is looking a little different.
Yeah, I feel like the season's just starting again. It's fun because we're just past the halfway mark here, but I feel like it's a fresh start. We're watching Tampa struggle and they lose. We've seen some impressive performances. Dallas and New England were spectacular on Sunday, but there's so many moving targets in the NFL. I don't know anybody that has a grasp. Like if you had to predict right now who's in the Super Bowl, there is no even educated guess at this point. It's going to come down to which team is getting better as the season goes on and who plays the best in January. That's why every week you and I, when I have you on, I like to focus with you on what you think the Chiefs' growth line is. You know, like a stock chart. How much are they trending up? What I'm hearing you say is they're trending up a little bit, but not in any wild, they haven't made any leaps at this point. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That's correct. But you need to reference the others, okay? Because in the stock market, if we invest $1,000, Kevin, we want to know what the score is with that $1,000, right? Do we have $1,100 now? Do we have $1,500? You know, has it turned into only $1,001? you know, we really care about that on a scale like that. You can't do that with your record. You mentioned it. That 6-4 record, don't look at that. What I've been looking at the whole time, Kevin, when we were at the depths of the Chiefs making mistakes, Patrick Mahomes not looking the same, the defense getting run through like you can't believe. Let me tell you what one of the secrets was to my mindset. You can talk about balance, whatever. I was looking at the rest of the league, and specifically the AFC. And that you're bringing up right now the exact point that I was trying to talk about 4 weeks ago when we were talking about the Chiefs and I wasn't worried about them. I said very simply to you, they're going to make the playoffs. Okay? But here's the thing. In the AFC, the bar is not very high. See, I don't believe in the Buffalo Bills yet. They're not championship mentality. On any given day, they can go off. So the other thing that we talked about when you said getting to the Super Bowl and going to playoffs, it'll be who's playing well, those kind of things. But it also is going to be some matchups. There are some interesting matchups like, oh, I don't want to play against that team. Certain teams match up with others. There is no elite like we're the best team. There used to always be, we're the best and we don't care who we're playing. We're going to win the game. We got home field advantage. We may get a bye, all those things. This year it's wide, wide open. Why is that true? I'll go back to it. Buffalo has an offense that totally relies on a quarterback like it's seventh grade football. He has to run, scramble, throw, and do everything for them to be successful. Their defense puts up decent numbers once in a while, but they're not dominating. So I'm not scared of Buffalo. Then you go down the list. Chargers, good quarterback, young, brand new coach. They have no idea what it takes to play championship level football. So you look around, and guess who normally would fill in the blank and scare the hell out of me? If you'd have taken this Chiefs season and marked it over the last 10 years, Kevin, or 20, you know what I would have said? Wow, the Chiefs are in trouble. They're a good football team, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year because those New England Patriots have got it all going on, and it's not too big for them. Pittsburgh Steelers, Baltimore Ravens, those are the three teams to watch. Those are the three teams to watch. As if they turn into great football teams by the end of the year, Kevin, then the Chiefs have trouble. But all these other teams, the Clevelands of the world, the Cincinnati's, anybody you want to fill in, Denver, Raiders, Chargers, they're not up to what the Chiefs know how to do. That's win when it counts. So they have such a big advantage. I agree with you. I think there's no reason why you shouldn't sit here today and go, I'm not sure the Chiefs aren't the best team in the AFC once again. And I'm not going to have much of an argument. But it's not so much about how great they are. They're not nearly as good as they've been the last 2 years. The Chiefs aren't. But it doesn't take that much this year.
Right.
So, watch out for the Patriots.
That's interesting.
How good are the Patriots going to be?
It's so interesting you mentioned the Patriots of a few years ago, because I think this is the analogy. I was just getting ready to ask you this. You know, for so long, it was always Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. Those three were all in the AFC. They were all going to the playoffs. One of them was going to get to the Super Bowl. It just, that's the way it was forever. Those three guys just owned the conference. Are the Chiefs in the category with Patrick Mahomes that they are like that? That the rest of the teams are plug and play. You describe Buffalo as a team that doesn't know how to win at the high level yet. Tennessee, to me, is a given. I really like what Tennessee does. They've been around and in the playoffs enough years in a row, and they got a two-game lead on everybody in the conference. They're going to be in, and they're going to be a tough out, in my opinion, in the AFC playoffs. We had all those years where it was always Brady, Roethlisberger, and Manning. Is the AFC like that at all? With the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, what would be the other couple teams that you say, okay, those you can pretty much write them down every year, these three teams are in?
Well, the easy answer and the most important thing is yes about the Chiefs. Okay, let's go back. You mentioned go back a little while with the Patriots. 2018, the Patriots were not the best team down after down, game after game all year long. They weren't at all. And they were on the road to Arrowhead. But they knew how to win that game. They got themselves an extra Super Bowl, right? Because they knew how to win and wouldn't go away. Yes, the Chiefs are that team. They're more than Tennessee. See, Tennessee, matchups, I do not want to play Tennessee. I do not want to play Tennessee in the playoffs if I'm the Chiefs. I do not want to play the Cleveland Browns. What did you say? Did you say Cleveland? Cleveland? They're awful. No, no. One game against the Chiefs, I don't like playing Cleveland. This is about a few matchups. But generally, to get back to your focus, Kevin, absolutely. We are like the new Patriots. We're the new Patriots or Steelers. You just mark them down. Do you realize Mike Tomlin's never had a losing year in all of his time coaching the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Amazing.
Ever? And Belichick, you know he's going to be sniffing around the AFC Championship game every year. So let's mark those two teams down. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, not as reliable, but around and solid, dangerous. They'll take the bit if they're one of the best teams. They'll really take the bit. They're not scared to go win games, those kind of things. I respect the heck out of the Ravens. But the Chiefs are right now, because Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are more ready to win in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson is, right? I mean, Lamar does it in a regular season. Lamar does it when things are going well, it goes really well for Baltimore. But when it doesn't go well, he doesn't have another gear. He can't throw the ball. So I'm going to notch them down. But the Chiefs are as much New England and Pittsburgh as New England and Pittsburgh has been, because Tom Brady's not there. Mac Jones is doing a good job, and Belichick's going to be a hard out. It'll be a hard playoff game if the Chiefs play the Patriots. It's going to be right down to the end of the game. But yes, mark the Chiefs down. That's kind of what I was saying 3 or 4 weeks ago, Kevin, is mark them down. That's who they are. They're going to find the way. And right now, they can easily be fit in as the favorite. I mean, a close. It's a lot of tough games. When the Chiefs lost to the Patriots in overtime in 18, if you're a Patriot fan, you couldn't have said, oh, this is going to be easy. You knew it was going to be a war, and you're going to have to find a way to win in the last seconds of the game. That's the version I'm talking about. The Chiefs probably are the best team in the AFC, but they're going to have to fight some wars to prove it. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to start our college discussion with the Kansas Jayhawks. I got a number of emails and people reached out that listened to the podcast over the weekend and said, boy, you better be loving up the Jayhawks on Monday. I can't tell you how excited I was. It's not really in my DNA to get loud and scream and cheer for Kansas for anything. My wife was so happy, and it was so, I've talked to all my K-State buddies, Stan. They were all the same way. Everybody was rooting for Kansas, and I knew this was coming this year with Texas and Oklahoma leaving. This was just spectacular entertainment and so great for a first-year coach who clearly is building something the right way. We can't draw any conclusions on Kansas football yet, but I'm going to tell you right now, 2 years from now, that's going to be a hard team to beat because they do a lot of little things right. They've kept their penalties down. They're not turning it over, whatever. The fact that they won at Texas was stunning, and the fact that he went for two and somehow they made that play and won that game 57-56, I'll never forget it. That was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, when you stop the tape and we could do a 360, you know, Super Bowl, 50 million cameras and look around, when he was retreating on that two-point conversion play, the chances of Kansas completing a pass for him turning a spectacular run into a two-point conversion was probably getting into the 5% range, because it worked out perfectly for Texas. They had him retreating and at an angle he couldn't have turned the corner, and yet he was able to launch it in and have a guy catch the ball. I mean, just a miracle finish after they were the better team all game long. But then you add on a miracle finish onto it with a two-point conversion, and you could see the KU fans doing backflips, ending the longest conference road losing streak in the history of college football, all the way back to 08 when they beat Iowa State on the road. Just an amazing win, and easy for people to be happy about. First of all, because Oklahoma losing to Baylor and then Texas blowing it against Kansas after we've had to listen to all this stuff about them going to the SEC this summer. I mean, there's a lot of pride, a lot of remaining teams in the Big 12 pride, right? I think a lot of people love Lincoln Riley getting all mad on the sideline for Oklahoma after Baylor whipped them. I mean, everyone who's staying in the Big 12 is loving some of that. And then to see Texas lose their fifth game in a row since the first time in the 1950s, Steve Sarkisian supposed to turn things around, and here they are getting buried. And then Kansas, Iowa, and just amazing. Now, again, I had to be a little more quiet about this one because who wants to stick their neck out very far? I wish you were with me when I was watching the tape. And I thought Kansas was a hard team to beat now, Kevin. They don't get penalties. They don't turn over the ball. They got quarterbacks who can make plays all the way down to Jalen Daniels. You know, the third-string quarterback, I thought, functioned fine against K-State the other day, functioned fine last year. So I kept seeing Devin Neal run the ball. I'm the idiot who watched the Oklahoma State game and go, everyone acts like they got pummeled, Oklahoma State. They did only after their will was broken and the ball kind of bounced the wrong way. They fought like crazy. Go watch the first quarter and a half. They were battling Oklahoma State very, very well on the road, which is not an easy thing to do. Kansas practices in the morning. They played on the road at 6:30 at night. That's not optimal. Oklahoma State's a hard team to beat. So here we go. Everyone wanted to throw them away. But if you forget about the Oklahoma State game, or if you only watch the first quarter or so like I did, Kevin, I'm going to tell you, think about the Oklahoma game, what they did in that game. All game long, Not just when they let 10-0 at the half. All game long, look how solid Kansas was. Look how explosive they were on offense and solid they were all game long against Texas. So Lance Leipold is the real deal, doing the right thing. And when K-State walked off the field and I left the press box, I thought I could name 4 or 5 positive bullet points. I did for Danny when we did College Game Day on Sports Radio 810. He said, well, I've been a little hard on Kansas, but you seem to see a little bit more in them. Give me some positives. And I did. I gave him 4 or 5 bullet points about what I liked about KU football going into the game against Texas. So, Kevin, they already are a hard out. That said, this is not supposed to be spun around. This is not me being biased, Kevin. But I can't help tell you how that shines a spotlight on how good K-State plays. That K-State tore Kansas apart. KU was ready. They practiced in the morning. They played Oklahoma at 11. They're ready to play K-State at 11. They wanted a piece of it with Lance Leipold to set a new tone. And what did K-State do? Tear them apart, play after play. That is a compliment to K-State. And if you look at Kansas and you think positively of them, even right now, like I do, and watch that Texas game and that Oklahoma game, and then think what K-State did, Kansas's big day really made a spotlight even get brighter for K-State about how good they're playing. So it was a great day for the state of Kansas.
It really was. And everybody in America loved Kansas beating Texas, except Texas fans. That's it. Every college football fan everywhere is having a blast with this and making fun of Texas. You got a couple of first-year head coaches, and it isn't close. It isn't close. I mean, Texas right now has to be asking, did we blow this again? Do we have the wrong coach in place? We're getting ready to go to the SEC. They're not even close to ready for that, although I think these conferences are probably closer together than people would know. I think I read that Oklahoma, with their loss on Saturday to Baylor, now has 5 losses in the last 3 years to Iowa State, Baylor, and K-State. They've lost 5 games to those 3 schools in the last 3 years. They're not ready to go win a national title in the SEC. Oklahoma, to me, it was a miracle that they were undefeated going into Saturday, the way they've been playing close games against teams. I'm just being a complete and total homer here. I grew up in Kansas City. I loved the old Big 8. I love the history of this league. I loved it when KU, K-State, and Missouri were all in a conference together. And this realignment and the stuff that's happened just tears at me. But I'm glad this league is staying together, and I'm glad it still has components of the old days, you know, some real history, KU and K-State together, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, that we see these things. And it emboldens me. It makes me feel great because Oklahoma and Texas really – I don't want to get into the whole realignment thing. We know they're just chasing money. It makes no sense. I don't understand any of it. They had a league that they had the opportunity to be dominant in, and they're leaving it. And they can't even be dominant in this league. And everybody loves watching Texas just piddle around and do nothing. That was just fantastic watching Texas foiled.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That was a whole different viewing experience than what I've had the last 25 years. Now, if you're supposed to say this, Kevin, I hate Texas. I mean, everybody's supposed to say that, but you know, I didn't join the crowd. I know DeLoss Dodds. DeLoss Dodds was a coach at K-State, an athletic director at K-State. He coached my wife for him, and was great friends. He lived in Manhattan. My wife grew up in Manhattan. You know, I just see a whole different guy. And Mack Brown, those two guys led Texas basically to excellence, right? Recruiting, the winning at Texas, a national championship. Everyone wanted to say that they were awful, and it, you know, we heard the Nebraska story about how awful Texas was, but I thought that they handled themselves just fine with DeLoss Dodds as the AD. He could have blown it up in 2011, Kevin, but he didn't. So I thought, I don't have the hatred for Texas that everyone else did, but man, it was different watching it this time. I'm on board with everybody. I was hating Texas on Saturday night. You know, you bums, and I was laughing and thinking, what a great day. Oklahoma's coach is crying. They're calling the officials over to talk to the AD, Joe Castiglione, with his little hat on, sitting over there. Do you see that?
Yes.
The officials, their white hat and 2 others, they had to go talk to Joe Castiglione. Ooh, by the way, I have nothing but great things to say about Joe Castiglione for the last 30 years, but that all changed, right, when they snuck out the back door and tried to throw college football, not only the Big 12, but college football upside down, you know, and they had no guts to not follow Texas when they own this conference. I mean, why would you want to leave if you're Oklahoma when you have the best football team, the best path to get in college football playoff right here, and you want to go take some SEC money? I mean, what are you thinking about? And then you look your friends in the face and say, man, we're together, which Joe Castiglione has done all this time, and now he's not. I have no time for that. So when they're over there talking to the officials, that just helped me in the Texas game, right? Just watching Oklahoma whine and cry and make the officials talk to their AD and all this stuff while they're getting beat by Baylor on the field and they're crying like little babies.
Pummeled
that was hilarious.
By Baylor. Manhandled by
Texas,
Baylor.
Yeah, and then to see Texas in the same day lose to Kansas and three or four times in the game go, oh, we're really going to get mad now. I mean, we're Texas. We're really going to get mad. I mean, watch out. And then Kansas drove 80 yards right in their face.
Yep.
I said, oh, really? You thought you were going to be only down by 7 or 14, but now you're back down by 21. We're better than you. And you're right. I mean, they go for the big-name coaches, but two in a row are not as good as Lance Leipold.
That's right.
Or Chris Klieman. Two in a row. The last two Texas coaches, oh, make it three. Okay? They've had three coaches that aren't as good as KU and K-State's current coaches. Seriously.
Yep, I believe it.
If they went down and took over the Texas program, each of the coaches at Kansas and Kansas State right now would win more games than Charlie Strong. It's amazing.
Herman.
It's all this hype, and the substance punched them right in the mouth.
Yep. No, it's just so much fun. You were on the call of the game in Manhattan, and I listened to Chris Klieman, the coach, after the game on with you and Wyatt, and you asked him about a 4th-and-8 call. This is a weird going for 4th-and-8, you know, if you're behind, it's not an unusual thing. Up 7 points in the fourth quarter of your game, going for a 4th-and-8 when you're just across midfield is almost unheard of. And Klieman, now there was an injury on the play, so they got a chance to talk it over. He told you that he asked his offensive coordinator, do you have a play? He said, yes. And then he looked at Skylar Thompson and said, this is your ball game. This is putting it in your hands. Thompson made maybe one of the best throws I've ever seen him make on a 4th-and-8, a bullet down the seam, and then K-State wins going away. Who makes that call, Stan? And what were you thinking when K-State lined up? I mean, it was a 4th-and-8, so it wasn't the old, hey, let's try to get him to jump off sides. They were really going for it. What did you think when you saw they were going for that?
Well, first of all, Courtney Messingham is a childhood friend of Chris Klieman. So the connectivity between those two is amazing, the confidence and belief in each other. And Klieman is a defensive guy. Okay, he made his hay as a defensive coordinator. He focuses more on defense. So when he says as a head coach, I'm okay going for 4th down, he really is asking a childhood friend and someone who he's been around at Northern Iowa. I mean, they've been tied at the hip type of guys. When he says you have a play, there's complete confidence. There's no head coach overriding offensive coordinator. They know what they're talking about. They know what shade of gray they're talking about. It's the worst situation in football because I talk about football is now won in two places, Kevin. Right when you get across the 50-yard line, depending on how good your field goal kicker is, if you can get that guy into range and get 3 points instead of punting and pooching the ball, that's all the difference in the world. And we know about the red zone. You score touchdowns, you get 4 more points than you do if you kick field goals. So those are where football games in pro and college are won right now. And K-State was at that point where, man, their field goal kicker is not reliable enough. A freshman who missed a short field goal earlier can't bomb a field goal here. And, man, punting is almost worthless. So going for it, then you start thinking, you know how good K-State's offense is right now, Kevin? I think this has been underplayed a little bit by me. I didn't say it last week on your podcast. I didn't realize this until I got to my Thursday or Friday night study. I was looking at K-State's offense. And they're averaging going into last week's game against West Virginia. It's not true right now, so don't go to the stat sheet right now. But before that game, K-State was averaging 6.5 yards per play, which when I started thinking about it, I go, that is elite. That's off the charts. It ties K-State's best ever 1998 Michael Bishop team, Kevin. Mm. That's how good they've been on offense. I've also been saying to people and saying on the air, I think K-State's offense, passing the ball, is better than running. You know, when Patrick Mahomes snaps the ball, it's easy. We go, the defense is unhappy. They'd rather see you hand it off. I think that's true of K-State's offense. Skylar Thompson has been completing 70% of his passes this year. On 3rd down in the 4th quarter, even better in clutch situations. So it's amazing the confidence level I have. I remember starting the year, and I could hardly talk about this because everyone was going to probably jump my case, and I was a little too conservative about it, Kevin. K-State's receiving corps. Not athletic enough, not that good, total letdown. You know, well, my son was a part of it, right? He's basically the 3rd best of that group. So if I say anything positive about them, it looks like I'm just sticking up for him. I always thought, and I said to people at K-State, if Skylar Thompson's a quarterback, and throws the ball where he's supposed to, this group of receivers are reliable, will catch the ball, and will do they'll set the picks if they need to. This pass receiving core is not bad. This passing game will be fine if Skylar Thompson is healthy. Well, wow. They've advanced to where now I don't have to be defensive about that group. Sammy Wheeler, really backup tight end. He may be the third best tight end on K-State's team, but you know what? You throw the ball on time where it's supposed to be, and the kid from St. James right over in Lenexa, Kevin doesn't live probably but 2 miles. His family doesn't live probably 2 miles from where your new house is right now. That kid makes a big catch down the seam like it's no big deal. K-State's passing game is better than their running game, and their offense is playing at a very high level. Deuce Vaughn is a superstar. Skylar Thompson, Kevin, is he the first team All-Big 12 quarterback? I mean, look around. There's a chance. Don't tell me about Brock Purdy or whoever Oklahoma and Texas's quarterbacks are. He is inching his way up to be right there, to getting some all-conference accolades and maybe first-team all-conference. He beat Baylor this week, and you might be looking at the first-team all-conference quarterback. That's why they can go for fourth down. They've transformed themselves since the 41 passes against Oklahoma. K-State's turned into a balanced offense, mm-hmm. where I think they're more lethal when they throw the ball.
Yeah. No, they're good, and they're fun to watch, and they're playing so well. Vegas matters sometimes. Baylor's a top-10 team, and K-State plays them this week, and K-State's favored by 2. So that's all you got to know about what Vegas thinks about the way the Wildcats are playing. The Missouri Tigers got a much-needed win, Stan. Boy, did they need this. They had to hold on. It was not easy. The momentum was all turning. Tyler Beatty had 34 carries for 209 yards in this game, including 63 on the final drive to ice the game. Man, when you can run the ball like that, it sure makes a difference when you're trying to salt one away, and Missouri did it. It must be a huge relief for everyone in that program.
No doubt about it. All we got to do is just hit the rewind button and listen to some of the words that we talked about previous. Remember when K-State lost 3 straight games, Kevin, and there's just no confidence. K-State fans and analysts didn't see anything positive about where K-State football was going to go. And I was saying, yeah, they are under extreme pressure. The confidence is lacking around the building, but they're going to stick together and fight. But, man, they got to beat Texas Tech. They have to. And then everything went wrong at the beginning of the game. They went out of there with a 1-point win, not a clean game at all. But that's all they needed was a little shot of oxygen. You know, to be themselves, they needed to find a way to win no matter how. Don't talk about style points. People were wanting to ask me about style points and what I thought. I said, hey, it doesn't matter. You're going to see a whole new K-State. It just had to win. Well, substitute those words for Mizzou, right? It was a game early that South Carolina had control of, had the ball in Missouri territory with a 7-point lead. And things could have really turned quickly. South Carolina was dangerous. They beat Florida soundly the week before. They found ways to win. They're advancing their program. Their quarterback is getting his second start, the young man from St. Francis. I know a lot about South Carolina because my son's over there. Stanton is coaching. He's part of the coaching staff at South Carolina. I know a little bit about these guys. And I interviewed Shane Beamer on College Football Game Day on 8:10 on Saturday, Kevin. You know, I know him pretty well now. And it was a great interview to, you know, get a chance to talk to him. So I knew how good South Carolina could be and how dangerous they were. But Missouri, who made a ton of mistakes, leaned on their guy, right? Another great running back, first-team All-SEC type of running back, and they won. I don't care how they won. It's K-State, Texas Tech all over again. They got their breath of oxygen. Now let's see what Missouri has. Kevin, everyone was so down on the Tigers and talking about a disaster if they lost to South Carolina, rightfully so. But when they beat South Carolina, why can't you now be super enthusiastic about playing Florida? Who thought at any time until 2 weeks ago, and maybe until this weekend, who really thought that Missouri could beat Florida? I'm telling you, no one marked that down as a possible win for the Tigers. Well, guess what? South Carolina smashed Florida. Florida gave up 42 points in the first half against Samford. Samford scored 42 points, Kevin, against them at Florida, and ended up, I think, with 56. The final score, if I'm not mistaken, was 70-56 Florida.
Yeah.
And their coach is under a ton of fire. Mizzou can go win this week, Kevin. They can get the work done. And then don't ever sign off on that Arkansas game. Missouri plays great against Arkansas year after year. What happens if they win these last 2 games? It'll spin the season upside down just because they barely beat South Carolina. I call it barely. Watching the game unfold, it could have gone either way. They were in dangerous situations. They did not play a clean game. But now They got a renewed chance. So here we go, Mizzou. Let's see what you got. They may finish the season off strong as well.
It's a lot of fun, buddy. That's all I know. It was a great, great weekend of football, and there's nothing better than talking with Stan Weber about it. It is fun to win, and maybe we'll do it again next week. Let's just keep doing this. Let's just, everybody wins every week, and we'll all be happy. I'm in on that. Are you okay with that?
Yeah, Kevin. I mean, how can I not have a smile on my face when I wake up on Monday morning and get ready to roll for the day, and I'm thinking, okay, that football weekend was awesome, and then all of a sudden I go, but wait a second. I got to talk to Kevin to start the day right off. Get to talk about football with Kevin. I mean, how can I not be happy? You know, I used to just make it up like, I still love football enough to say I'm excited about Mondays because Monday night football. You know, no matter who the announcers are, no matter who the games are, not been so good over the last few years, I'm still excited because football is not done. But, man, how can I not be happy when I say, oh, I get to rehash the whole weekend, get to talk to Kevin about what went on the last few days. How much fun is this? So you're not going to get anything but a smile from me week after week after week. But this week, fandom, hey, everybody join us with a big smile on your face, because no matter who you're rooting for, hey, even Nebraska didn't lose. If you're a Nebraska fan, they didn't lose. You know, join us. Oh, a couple Cyclones are driving off the road right now.
Yeah.
A couple of Iowa State fans are saying, we're around here too.
Yeah.
We can hear you. So, no, what a great weekend. And, man, it's great to see the enthusiasm of Kansas City back with the Chiefs.
Awesome.
I'm so happy that everyone's back on the bandwagon, Kevin. I've been slowing it way down so everyone could walk and jump back on it, okay, for the last few weeks. We're just moving at 2 miles an hour, but I can't wait to hit 80 miles an hour again and take off, because this is exciting. Here we go. Chance to be in the Super Bowl again. It's hard to go to the Super Bowl 3 years in a row. I don't expect it. I'm not promoting that. But isn't it going to be fun thinking that, why aren't the Chiefs the Patriots right now? Why aren't they the 2021 version of the Patriots? Like, you thought you killed the bug, AFC. You thought they were gone. And here they are back, rising to the top again.
Well said. Thank you, Stan. Have a great week, buddy.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, he is Stan Weber, and there's your football feast, and that is just fantastic. We love all the winning. We just love all the winning. It's brought to you by Fry Orthodontics with 12 locations for your convenience, online at fryorthodontics.com. Amazing garage floors. Call Hutch at 913-901-7139 or log on to amazinggaragefloors.net. And Joslin's Jewelry, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family, online at joslinsjewelry.com or visit them in person, 95th and Antioch, at Joslin's Jewelry. Big week of podcasts ahead, and everybody's feeling good about the football season now, and the holidays are around the corner, and Thanksgiving's coming. And if this doesn't put a little bounce in your step, I don't know what does. Your team won this weekend. In some fashion, one of your teams won. I know we got a lot of Iowa State fans listening. Rough go. Tough way to lose, by the way, too. But winning's good, and football is fun. And the seasons are on, and they are saved. And every fan of any one of these four teams that we just discussed has reason for hope right now. Reason to feel really good about what they saw and what it could mean, even as quickly as this year. Kansas, go win another game. Let's go. Come on, Jayhawks. Go beat somebody. Let's do it. Keep it going. Get some old Mo on your side. Really great stuff. Stan Weber, your football feast on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.